Friday, January 23, 2021. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Coming on a rare Saturday release. This week was a little weird technology-wise. My computer crapped out on me, and it was just this endless loop of start, restart, error, need the restart, force restart, error. I just actually kind of let it go at one point, like, all right, I'm done messing with this. And after a while, started doing some automatic repairs, it restarted, and everything seems to be back to normal. That finally happened late Thursday night. Friday was just too full for me to squeeze out the episode. So here we are, Saturday morning with a new episode, but should be back on track for a Thursday drop this coming week. Living the better life means sitting on your damn couch making bets legal in your state. The state of Virginia, which passed legislation in summer of 2020, finally went live with their first operator just this past week. Thursday, January 21st, FanDuel went live in the state of Virginia, and boy, I shed a tear. On the list of rights that Americans and or humans in general have been waiting for to be able to exercise, this is far down on the list of anything that actually matters. But boy, it still felt kind of nice to watch something that had not been possible or legal in my entire lifetime. Finally, 32 years later, the opportunity comes when PASPA gets struck down by the Supreme Court. And 35 years later, as I am now, the state of Virginia, the first state that I've ever resided in, to allow me to legally bet on sports. A couple of you, or at least one of you, asked if FanDuel is at all a book of preference for me, or if I'm just excited because they went live. It's definitely the latter. I actually don't really like FanDuel all that much. Their lines are meh, and they don't have a lot of the soccer leagues that I enjoy betting into. They definitely don't have a lot of the future markets that I enjoy shopping, so want DraftKings and the others get involved, I imagine FanDuel will be forgotten. They don't even have like fun boost odds, in my opinion. Like in other, I think other books, I can find boost odds that are kind of worth doing. FanDuel really has boosted odds that I think are priced in a way to make it worthwhile to bet. So I'm excited. Virginia's doing it, and of all the states that I've lived in. I mean, I haven't lived in too many, but Washington State being the only other one that has legalized it, but their system, from what it sounds like, is, or I don't even know if they've stood up yet, but it sounds like the way that they're going to implement it's trash. So I'm very fortunate, very grateful to be living in the Commonwealth of Virginia with the opportunity to legally bet on sports inside the United States. It is it's surreal, almost, in a way. 4 years ago, before New Jersey brought their case up to the third Circuit Court, I was like, man, this isn't going to go anywhere. But when it got called up to the Supreme Court, I was like, oh, shit, it's on. And lo and behold, here we are, 2021, and I can legally bet on sports in my state. Very excited about that. Okay, I got some other things I'm going to chat about here, but I'm going to get rolling into my segment with Mark Duvall, where we go over scenes of movies or TV shows that have references to gambling. Now, usually in the first two episodes, we picked apart certain scenes here and there and sort of culminated with like this with one episode that was kind of full of them. This one, not so much the case. It really is just sort of a, hey, in this episode I noticed this, and this episode I noticed that. We go over Rick and Morty and introduce some Community and Scrubs into this conversation, and then Mark reveals the show he'd like to go over at the end of our discussion. So without further ado, better viewing with Mark Duvall. All right, Mark Duvall, I've hit record. We can start chatting. You know, the last time I recorded with Eric, my entire computer froze in the middle of us recording. The entire computer froze. Uh-huh. And the podcast life, right, is if my computer freezes, the only thing I'm worried about is, oh my God, am I going to have the recording?
Right? Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Who knows what's wrong with my computer? But God damn it, do I have the 20 minutes that I just got done recording? Fortunately, it was all there. Mark Duvall, how are you?
Very good. Thank you, Tim.
Good. Before we get started, I do want to plug a cool little thing you did last night, and last night being relative to when we're recording, it would have been Tuesday evening. Right? No.
Monday. Yes.
No. What's today? Today's Tuesday.
Yeah, sorry.
It would have been a Monday evening.
Monday evening, January 18th. Yes.
That's right. You did a little YouTube live event with a YouTube account called Same Bet.
Yes.
And you guys chatted about some things that are similar to what we chat about here.
Very similar. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talking about. Now that's not a podcast, right? That's just a YouTube show, or am I mistaking that?
No, you are correct. Yeah, it's just a YouTube show that I think he does once a week, or he tries to put out once a week. Right.
Got it. Very cool. Well, you tweeted about it. So if anybody's curious, the link is available via your Twitter feed.
Yes, and I assume it's still up there. You know, it was a live stream at the time, but I'm sure it's still there that you can watch. So yeah, just like an hour of us talking about Hollywood and gambling.
Yeah, I think the URL remains the same, I understand YouTube correctly. Okay, Mark, the last time we did this, we had a lot of fun talking about James Bond, specifically Sean Connery. Got a lot of great feedback from people. Good. People really enjoyed that conversation. It seems like, I mean, this is the fourth installment of this, and I think we found something here, Mark. People are liking this.
Good. Oh, yeah. That's really good. Yeah, because I certainly enjoy talking about it. I think you do too. I think we've got pretty good, lively conversations. Yeah.
And I've learned, and this was what I thought would, this was, I guess, not really my concern was, but I was curious if people would enjoy this, even if they didn't watch the programming that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, even if they're not into the programming, they still think it's a fun conversation. And that to me means this is something we're going to keep doing.
Great.
This week, we're going to talk about some of the usual suspects from earlier episodes, and also introduce a couple new shows. But before we get to those, I sent you a handful of talking points, kind of random, and all three of them unrelated to each other.
Yeah.
But they came to mind, and I was like, you know what? Instead of me sitting here thinking about it, why don't I ask Mark to talk about it on the show? So we'll start with this one, and I don't know why this came to mind, but it did, and now I'm curious. Which actor do you think, like, if they were either, I guess they don't have to even be in a casino setting. They could maybe be outside of the casino setting, maybe and especially outside the casino setting. Do you think might be recognized by a gambler for a role they had that isn't as big as maybe other features that they've been in that someone who's not into gambling content would recognize them for?
Right. And yeah, so as gamblers, what role would maybe we see and really zero in on that maybe the actor isn't necessarily known for?
Yes.
Yeah. For me, I thought this was an obvious choice. I don't know about you, but for me, it's Philip Seymour Hoffman playing Craps in Hard Eight. He's like this young kind of jerk at the table. And he's so good in the role. I mean, he is so convincing. We've all been on tables with this guy. To me, that jumps out because it's not certainly a role that he's known for.
Right.
He had a great career, and this is a very small role for him, but that's the one that jumped out at me.
So I thought Philip Seymour Hoffman. I also thought Edward Norton, possibly even.
For
I think
Rounders?
For Rounders. Of course, many of us know him as Tyler Durden in a number of other roles. But I think if gamblers saw him, that's the movie they'd reference first.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'll go with that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Matt Damon, probably not. If I saw Matt Damon, I'd probably go into my Kevin Smith movie bag on things I want to talk to him about. And I thought, Philip Seymour Hoffman is a good one. I think Edward Norton's up there. I even thought I thought the obvious one, and not that gamblers are unaware of the bigger roles, but if we saw this actor, we want to talk to them about the gambling or casino related role, George Clooney.
Yeah. I guess the only reason I wouldn't necessarily pick him out is because he's so obvious in the Ocean movies.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point. Maybe in a non-gambler is probably bringing up Ocean first too.
Yeah. That's a big role.
That's
in
a great
his
point.
Career.
That's yeah. a good point. Yeah. Okay. I mean, now that I think about it, I don't know if there's another role I would even bother bringing up.
Yeah.
If I talked to, now that I think about
it's
it.
True. Like, I mean, yeah, that was such a big part. And yeah. You know, maybe it wasn't something that he was nominated for.
Right.
But it's something that, I think that the general public, hey, name a George Clooney movie, especially since there were three of them, they might bring up Oceans. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great point. Maybe Up in the Air. I might bring up Up in the Air. That's probably the other movie that I bring up if I talk to George Clooney.
Well, you know, that's a great movie, but most people haven't seen it. You know what I mean? It's not mainstream like Ocean's 11. Yeah, Up in the Air. It is a great movie. I agree. Yeah. That's the kind of thing he's going to get critical attention for that he might not get for Ocean's.
In that state, so now that I'm just in my head thinking, is there a member of the Ocean's 11 cast where that's not the case? And I'm thinking maybe Don Cheadle.
Yeah, Don Cheadle's a good choice. I was thinking Bernie Mac. Also.
Bernie Mac. Yeah, that's a great example. Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, there's so many people in that movie. You know, Elliot Gould, although I guess he was in California Split in the 70s. But still, when you think Elliot Gould, you don't necessarily think Gambler.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many others. But I guess George Clooney and maybe Brad Pitt would be the ones that you don't mention because, you know, they're so prominent in the roles. I don't know.
Now, only because I'm really into this movie, I thought of this. I know this is a Tim Lawson thing. This isn't an actual answer to the question, but Christopher Walken came to mind because I was like, I would want to talk to him about Pool Hall Junkies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, sure.
Like, tell me about the monologue at the end about how you're a millionaire and you want to shoot it all. Just tell me. Pool Hall Junkies, we've brought up on the show. The only thing that's holding us back from doing anything related to Pool Hall Junkies is you can't find it anywhere. It's not streaming anywhere. Yeah. You can't buy the DVD on Amazon. If you go to eBay, some people have the DVD priced as high as $50, $60 because it's so hard to find.
I've got the DVD. Maybe I'll just bootleg it.
Well, here's what I was really surprised.
That'll be for your Santa next year.
Before you send it over, I am a part of a Facebook group called Buy Nothing, and a whole bunch of communities have these Buy Nothing groups, and essentially you put up things that you're just willing to give away, and you request things that you're just sort of looking for that someone's like has no problem with just giving you.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's very. And I put Pool Hall Junkies up there yesterday, thinking I gotta get a copy of this DVD, and I have a lead on one, so I think there's a chance I might get a copy of it. But what surprised me, Mark, when we last night, RX Gamble was asking for movie recommendations. And I recommended Owning Mahoney, coming fresh off of your conversation with Same Bet. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't find it anywhere. And I was like, oh, I didn't really think about it not streaming. And then someone came through and was like, well, you can find the whole movie on YouTube.
Okay.
So then I checked for Pool Hall Junkies, and I was actually kind of surprised that it wasn't there. For a movie that doesn't seem to really care about whether or not it exists on the internet altogether, right. I'm surprised no one has bothered to pirate or bootleg that up into.
Yeah, really.
Anyway, if there's ever an opportunity for that, I think that's a fantastic movie. I want to find a reason for us to talk about it, even if we're not confident that everybody can watch. We may do it anyways.
That's true. Yeah. And just for the record, I won't be bootlegging the DVD. I have, you know, I've got people in the FBI who know who I am. So
I was going to say, the FBI is pretty busy right now with incidents. So yeah. That's going to pop up on my Twitter feed and like the trending topics, FBI arrests Southern California man for bootlegging Pool Hall Junkies.
I couldn't find it anywhere. I was doing the public a favor.
Southern California man bootlegs independent movie no one has ever heard of. I bet we can find out like a copy on like Pirate Bay or something like that. But I'm not gonna recommend that. So okay, the second question: what gambling scenario or experience would you like to see depicted in TV or movies? And I think we've sort of talked about things around this idea, but not specifically like, you know what, I really wanted to see someone like just do, like put that up on the silver screen for me to sit down and enjoy. I was curious if there was anything that, I guess the question is there anything we haven't brought up yet? Is there anything we haven't seen? Is there something that's not a trope or anything like that, that it's like, man, I'd really like it if someone did this in a TV show or movie?
Yeah, I kind of struggled with this one. I couldn't think of anything in particular because a lot of things have been represented in movies. And all I could think of was all the times things are poorly represented.
Yes.
So I'm probably not going to answer your question because the answer would be, well, I'd like to see poker represented well. Well, it was represented well in Rounders. Or, right. Oh, you know, I'd like to see a movie where, you know, the gamblers kind of win at the end. And I won't name any movies because I don't want to put spoilers out there, but there have been some like that. So no, I couldn't come up with anything in particular. The only thing I wanted to say is I've been watching a lot of TV shows that have poker in them. I do a kind of a search, and when I'm falling asleep, I'll put on a, you know, some rerun that have poker in them. And poker is just always represented so poorly, especially in sitcoms. I mean, I guess I shouldn't come down so hard on it, but it's always, well, I don't know, I have enough money. How about the keys to my car? What? No. So do you have an answer?
Well, I will admit that all three of these questions that I sent you because it came to mind and I had a hard time figuring out what I thought it would be. And I was curious to see if you if you had an answer to this. And then the more I thought about it, the more I narrowed down on some. I would like to see, and I don't know how you do this, but I would like, and I don't know if it's worth doing it. The two things that come to mind, 21 and Two for the Money. That's the context on this. I would like to see a movie that involves an AP where they don't start losing just because they're emotions have changed.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that before, right?
Yes.
Right.
And I don't know how you depict that for it to be meaningful to the audience.
Yeah, or entertaining.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's tough for me to say that I want that because even if I saw it, I'd probably be like, well, that was stupid. I don't know why they did that. I don't know why they bothered with that. But, you know, in 21, where he gets pissed, he just starts losing. And Two for the Money, he gets emotional and just all of a sudden can't win a bet. It's like, come on, man. I've bet things I don't understand have won before, right? So it's...
Right. And unfortunately, though, you know, those conflicts where suddenly they go on tilt, that makes for good drama, right?
It really does.
And so if you're writing a script and, you know, he gets upset, but it doesn't affect his play at all. It's like, what? So where's the story? Yeah, I know what you mean. It would be hard to depict.
Yeah, it would be. Maybe instead of depicting that, maybe I would just like to see less drama involved in them being but it also, where's the arc if you don't do that?
Yeah. You know, it can be done. Maybe just don't make it as big a deal.
Right.
You know, yeah, maybe it's a quick slip or something, but then the person gets back on track. It's like, okay, good. They didn't go for that, you know, obvious plot twist there. Yeah.
I think maybe in the vein of where, like, you know, maybe if it's closer towards the end, right? Because then you could have a happy ending that looks like it's going south.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
You know, because it's always in the middle, right? It's always the arc of, oh no, here's the drama. They've gotten emotional and this is where things are going poorly. Maybe if it's closer towards the end, you can start getting that pit, like that feeling in your stomach, like, oh my goodness, he's going on tilt. And then it just happens to work out for them anyways.
Yeah.
And that's the lesson learned. I don't know.
You know, what might actually be a kind of a good current example of that is The Queen's Gambit, which is currently on Netflix.
Sure.
It's a 7-episode miniseries basically based on the book. And the character does go through some of these, you know, ups and downs. And I think they actually handled it pretty well. In fact, my wife and I, we kept commenting on, isn't it great what they don't do in this miniseries?
Yeah.
You kind of expect it to go one way. It's like, oh, here we go. And it doesn't. So this might not be exactly what you're looking for. And I don't know if you you've watched the miniseries, but I'd recommend it. It's an excellent show, and I think they do a good job of it.
You know, now that I think about it, I would like to see craps depicted outside of a casino setting.
So like street craps or?
Yeah, street craps, maybe someone sort of put together, like not like the house where they like had an actual craps table, right. But I feel like, and we'll have a reference here in one of the episodes we talk about today, but I feel like craps outside of the casino just gets referenced but you see it inside of a casino, you only hear the reference to it outside of the casino, right? Like,
yeah,
like Laverne saying, I need to find that craps game in the basement again, stuff right, like right. that. So,
yeah,
maybe there's that.
You know what I might recommend for you is A Bronx Tale. Have you seen that?
No, but I remember I heard you guys mention it on the YouTube. Stream.
There is an extended crap scene, and it is not in a casino. It's a bunch of guys getting together and playing craps.
There we go. That and it solves goes for that a while. Problem.
So yeah, check that out. Tell me what you think.
And you know what? To have representation on the screen, I want to see some don't betting, damn it. I want to see someone. I mean, I actually think that would be, look, I'm not going to get into this too much. I am writing some gambling related fictional material, and I have thought about how great it would be to have that have a scene with a don't better and a shoot, you know, like that.
Yeah.
That conflict, I think, actually, yeah, that's actually the answer to my question. I thought I was just being kind of funny. I think you could have a really interesting scene with that conflict between shooter and don't player.
Oh, okay, right.
You know, like there is, you know, like, or like the table against the, you know, like the, I think. Again, the typical audience isn't going to know what's going on or understand why that's happening. You'd have to find a way to either explain it to them.
I mean, all you'd have to do is have just a short conversation between two characters where one says, "What's going on?" And the other says, "He's betting the opposite," you know?
Well, there you go. As soon as we're done here, I'm going to write that in my
fantastic. Little
story. Yeah. By the way, I have a great dealer role set out just for you. Okay, last question. If there was a animated TV show that featured casino gambling, the setting is a casino, what cartoon or animation style do you think it would resemble? And this, I'm just curious if you, because I couldn't think of anything. Like I was having a hard time thinking, like, is there even one, can I even think of one, that has one? And of course there's no feature cartoon that I can think of, maybe scenes. And then I wonder what kind of style a casino themed show would have. What do you think would work?
Yeah. So when you sent me this question, something came to mind right away. And later, I noticed that you had posted the question on Twitter, and a few people came up with the same answer that I did. And my answer is the TV show Archer.
Yes.
And maybe it's because he's a spy and that reminds me of James Bond.
Right.
Or maybe I can just imagine him playing in a casino. You know, he drinks a lot. He's got kind of a wild lifestyle. I could see, well, actually any of the characters somehow involved in some kind of casino game. So that's my answer. Archer, the TV show, very funny show.
I agree. I think it would definitely depend on, of course, what the tone is, right? That matters. But without knowing too much, without thinking too much about what the tone, setting, whatever the story is, Archer definitely won. BoJack Horseman came to mind.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, of just, you know, not complex, but definitely kind of unique. And well, thank you for joining me on those sets of questions. That's,
yes.
But I thought those were fun exercises.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, we are going to wrap up Rick and Morty. We're going to introduce a couple new shows we haven't talked about here. Rick and Morty had quite a few conversations. Hey, nice little segue, right? From cartoons to going to Rick and Morty.
There you go. Yeah. Don't you know, cartoon.
I thought about Rick and Morty, and then I like as a style, and I was like, nah, I actually did like it. I, for some reason, it didn't quite fit. Maybe it's because I find Rick and Morty sacred, and I don't want anything to resemble it.
Well, and you know, Rick and Morty kind of moves at a faster pace too. When you have something like Archer, they could actually be in a long casino scene, you know, and make it funny. Whereas Rick and Morty, you know, it's all right. We got to move on to the next thing.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Rick and Morty in the first couple seasons brought us a handful of gambling references, but in seasons three and four, I can only find one. Morty's Mind Blower, season three, episode eight. This is a show that is sort of like a clip show where they just were like in a sitcom, it would be showing you either flashbacks or scenes that maybe they had taken and never shown before. This was sort of their way of doing that. And one of the sort of flashbacks that Morty sees through this device that's showing him all these memories that have been removed from his brain. One of them shows a quick flashback of him playing cards and getting his hand cut off. And I, as soon as I saw it, I was like, man, I would also not want to remember having my hand cut off. And also wondered, where's Morty's hand?
Yeah, right. If this is just a memory, then that's true.
Right.
It might not be the same Morty. You know how that goes.
Right. Of course. The only thing about this I thought was interesting, there are both cards and dice on the table.
Yes.
Yes. And it made me wonder, I was like, are they playing some complicated game I've never heard of, or are they simultaneously playing poker and craps? While someone's shuffling, they just got a craps game going on while someone's shuffling and dealing. But that does it for Rick and Morty. See through four seasons.
You know, this is such a great episode. It's, you know, the clip show of clips you've never seen before, right? Yes. Which I think Rick at one point even kind of calls it that. And Community did something similar too in one of their seasons. It looks like you're watching a clip show because there are all these flashbacks.
Yep.
But as you start watching, you're thinking, wait, did I miss that episode? No, they're all new. It's a great way too for the writers to, you know, maybe they had an idea for just something, you know, and they couldn't build much on it. Says, oh, we'll just throw it into that fake clip episode.
I didn't think about this for the episode you're referring to in Community, but I did wonder about this, about what you're pointing out there with Rick and Morty. If the writers just had all these cards on the wall and nothing fit in, and they're like, okay, time to clean out all these cards we know we're never going to fit in, start writing scenes for these.
Yes.
And I think that, because they're all very random, and they all, like, you could definitely... they all fit. Like, that's the thing. They all sort of fit into Rick and Morty. Like, oh yeah, I could see that happening. Or, typical Rick and Morty, right? Like, in, but of course there's no context or story there. Rick and Morty season five, still TBD on when that's coming out. But as that comes out, of course, we'll be screening that for any good gambling references. Moving on to another Dan Harmon made show. And I think the first time we've discussed this as far as finding references, the show Community, which I think came out in like 2008. I should have had that pulled up, but I think it came out shortly before I deployed, so that would have made sense.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, and it stars Joel McHale as Jeff Winger. It takes place at a community college. It has now what is obviously a star-studded cast. At its time, I keep on going to their character names.
Chevy Chase.
Thank you. Chevy Chase was kind of the big star that hit it. It was exciting for Joel McHale to get a lead role. But of course, this is where Allison Brie and Donald Glover both really, you know, with some other things going on in their career, obviously this was a big leap for them. And one of my favorite shows of all time.
For sure. Mine too.
Yes. It's definitely one that I tell people, other than, I think, what is it, season four, that's like considered the gas leak year that Dan Harmon wasn't there.
Right.
Outside of that, I think you could pull up any episode of Community and find something funny in it, even if you don't understand the context. That's how, to me, that's how well written it is. Season one, episode eight, the episode's called Home Economics. Shirley claims that that love is a gamble. Which I thought, I was like, that's actually a great point. Love is actually a pretty good gamble. And that waiting doesn't change the dice. You either roll them or you lose your turn. How long at a craps table, Mark, does a dealer, like, it's pretty much, you just get the, like, you have like 2 seconds to agree to roll the dice, right? Like, you don't think about it, right? If a dealer's like, you're up,
yeah,
how long are they waiting for you to, how long are they waiting for you to respond?
You know, I it's probably not fair, but it'll depend on the person. You know, it depends on if the person is a young woman or an older man, or sure, even race will come into it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think some dealers will try to push for certain players to, no, come on, roll.
Right.
While others, you know, if they, you looks like it's some seasoned player and they just kind of wave it off, it'll, you know, go real quick. So
yeah,
I guess it's going to depend on the person, but they won't wait too long. They got to keep the game moving.
Right. And then Annie, played by Allison Brie, shows us how sexual a hand gesture can be of trying to make it look like you're rolling dice when you're not actually holding dice and you're holding and you're doing that gesture near the center of your body.
Yes.
And she does a really great job in miming that. And there is episode 9. I'm seeing this in my notes and I think I forgot to send you this note, Mark.
I didn't see anything about 9.
Episode 9 is called Debate 109, is the name of the episode. Jeff gives Britta 10-1 odds that the hypnotherapy expert that Pierce is referring to is actually Pierce. Pierce is like, you know, you're sitting, or he's like, you're sitting next to a dynamite hypnotherapist or something like that, and Jeff's like 10-1 odds says it's him. And I was like, that's horrible odds, Jeff. That's really bad. Like, can I get those odds? Like 10-1, really? Like, that's an Britta really missed out on a positive EV play there, because it should have been 1-10.
Right. Yeah. It just shows you how, you know, he spouted it off and we all knew what he probably meant. Certainly people who aren't gamblers knew that so Pierce probably is the guy, you know,
right,
when that's not specifically what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. So he, right. So to the average listener and probably what they're trying to imply, it sounds like he's saying there's, you know, there's a 10 times chance or whatever that it's him, right? However, was it, but offering her 10-1 odds. That's a poor market there.
You know, if instead he had said 10 will get you one, it's right. Pierce.
Yes.
It's the same, you know, it makes sense now. And, you know, people who aren't gamblers still come away with this, with the intent, same intent.
Exactly. I've only made it through episode 10 of Community, watching it through this lens. It's something I actually, when I was like, all right, I guess I'll go through Community, thinking like, I've watched this so many times. Yeah. I can't think of one gambling reference, and I found two just in the first season. So I'm excited to keep watching it. All right, moving on to the show Scrubs, which is another one of my favorite shows. I'm sure everybody's seeing a theme here in the shows that I'm selecting. Scrubs stars Zach Braff, written and created by Bill Lawrence, who did the show he did before that was Spin City, before he launched Scrubs.
Yep, with Michael J. Fox, yep.
Exactly. A connection here with another show is Sarah Chalk, who plays Elliot Reed in Scrubs, also voices Beth in Rick and Morty. Yep. So I like it when there's good connections between my favorite shows. You know, Mark, I have to admit, the Scrubs, maybe it's just because I was watching them maybe a little bit more passively by accident or whatever, but I felt like the references were a little more subtle. There's a few where they say poker and craps, right? Those aren't subtle. There's a couple here that I thought like, oh, why hadn't I noticed that before? And maybe just doing this exercise so often, maybe watching all of these episodes without doing this exercise, I don't think of it. But I felt like when I watched this one again, there's a couple that I missed that you pointed out, and there were ones that I went back to like watch an episode for because it was on the rewatch podcast or whatever, and then I would be like, oh snap, I missed that the first time through. So who knows. All right, We're going to start with season 2, episode 6. The episode's called My Big Brother. Dr. Cox, who's played by John C. McGinley, who in my opinion is, if I made a top 10 list of my favorite characters to ever be shown on a television, Dr. Cox would definitely make that list.
All right, very good.
And then Turk, who is played by Donald Faison. They're talking. Turk is a surgeon. Dr. Cox is a physician. And they make a Dr. Cox bets $20 that Turk is going to kill his patient in surgery.
Right. Dr. Cox feels the patient is too old and won't survive the surgery.
Yes. And when I heard that, I was like, who is more devious in this exchange? Is it Turk that he is wagering on his performance as a surgeon, or is it Dr. Cox who benefits from the death of this individual?
I think Turk is making the more inappropriate move here, and Cox even calls him on it later, because you're familiar with Dr. Cox's character, he's baiting him basically.
Right.
You know, $20 says you'll kill him. And, you know, Turk should respond with, I'm not going to bet that, you know, a patient lives or dies.
Yeah.
And Cox actually calls him on it later. So that's my answer.
Okay. Season 2, episode 9, My Lucky Day, at the 11 minute, 20 second mark. And I don't know. I don't know why I can't think of what this is called, Mark. Please help me here. Dr. Cox does the hand gesture like a dealer does to show there's nothing in his hand. What's that called?
Yeah, I think it's just called cleaning their hands.
Okay, it is.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
When I sent that to you, I was like, well, that's not right. Mark will definitely correct me on whether or not that's right. That's a gambling reference that I think that's a more unique gambling reference that normal viewers know what he's doing, but gamblers know where it comes from.
Yeah. You see him do the gesture too, it's not, I mean, he really cleans them, right? You know, rubs them together, shows both sides of them. And when he's done, he even says, good luck, everyone. So, you know, it's definitely a dealer move.
Yes. Season 3, stop me if you have anything else to add to these.
Nope. I will say that first one we talked about, season 2, episode 6. That's a very funny episode. It might have been the funniest I thought of all the ones we're looking at here.
Yes. Season 3, episode 14, My Screw Up. This is arguably one of the best episodes of Scrubs. It features Brandon Fraser. I'd recommend watching it if you are a fan of Scrubs. Maybe you haven't gotten as far, you don't remember the episode. Very good episode. But right at the top of the episode, Dr. Cox suggests a Russian roulette booth at his son's birthday party, but with rounds in all of the chambers, so everyone is a winner. And it's just the most Dr. Cox line that I've heard from him. Have I had the hypothetical Russian roulette conversation with you? Probably not.
No,
we don't need to have it, but
and let's not have it, because I remember when you were having it, I think it was with Eric or somebody else, and I thought, I don't think I'd answer the same way, and then I didn't even want to think about it. So let's move on.
12:16, this is you caught this. There's a gin rummy scene where Zach Braff, or JD, played by Zach Braff, is playing gin rummy with a security guard. And the reason why I didn't pick up on this when I went back after you pointed it out is there's nothing in the scene that makes it apparent that they're gambling. But when JD comes out of his flashback, he makes the comment, I need to win my money back from Leonard. And I had missed that the first time. So good catch, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Funny part about this scene, Leonard has a hook for a hand in one hand, and he has a huge afro. And when they reference him after the flashback, they reference only the afro and not.
Yeah, I think there's actually an early scene where they're talking about it. You know, the security guard who has a hook from a hand. You know, what do you think of when you think of him? And everybody, the big afro. Yeah, that's instead of the hook, right? Yeah, this is a great example. You know, Scrubs was a very wacky show.
Yes.
But at the same time would throw in incredibly dark and painful scenes. I mean, really, you know, just pull the rug out under you.
Yes.
This is one of those episodes, but they would do it a lot. You'd get kind of comfortable with just the back and forth and really quite wacky. And then all of a sudden, you know, boom.
Yes. This episode, My Screw Up Season 3, Episode 14. And then there's an episode, I think it's in Season 5. It's called My Lunch. And that one's actually my favorite episode of Scrubs. And it's because the first time you watch it, if you have a heart, you may tear up a little bit. Yeah. At the very least, it'll pull your heart out of your chest for a few seconds. Scrubs, Season 3, Episode 15. This episode's called My Tormented Mentor. Todd is wearing a rag on his head with some playing cards on. It's first seen it at minute mark 427. And I think I made a note of it. You noted that it popped up earlier in the episode. And when I thought about it, I was like, why did I, like, I think people even just get, like, they associate cards. If you're not told what the cards are being used for, and especially when they're being depicted on like clothing or merchandise or something, I think there's the association with, like, with gambling, right? Like with poker and other gambling related card games. Do you think that's fair?
I would definitely agree. Yes.
Okay. Season 3, Episode 16, episode's called My Butterfly. At the 9:26 mark, JD and Elliot check the janitor's closet looking for a lost stuffed animal, and they find a handful of janitors playing some, they're doing a number of things. A few of them are playing some poker, and it just goes back to the poker is such an easy thing to set up in a scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm giving away too much in saying that this episode looks at two different possible realities from a certain starting point. And the poker game actually does show up again at 17:13, but since it's a different reality, it's a little bit different. In fact, I think Elliot is the only doctor who walks in on them.
Right, right. Scrub, Season 3, Episode 20. Episode's called My Fault. At the 13:33 mark, actually, before I get to there, at the top of this episode, Dr. Kelso makes a joke referencing Reno. And I didn't, the first time I watched this episode, when I was watching for the references, because usually my process in this is watch them, make the note really quick, either like in my whatever I'm using, or I'll send it to you in a DM. And then when I go for show prep, I'll go back and watch them all to make sure I have my notes for discussion. Uh-huh. The first time I watched it, I kind of breezed past it thinking like, oh, that's a Reno reference. It's not a gambling reference.
Yeah.
But then I wondered, is Reno in the same vein as Vegas and maybe even Atlantic City, in that it is a town associated with gambling?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it is, because I'm thinking of other, like if you said Carson City, Nevada, well, nobody really thinks of gambling right in that place, but Reno, you would, Laughlin. Yeah, I guess to a certain extent. Yeah, like you said, certainly not like Las Vegas.
Sure.
But yeah, and certainly for gamblers, you know, we hear Reno, that's the only thing we think of.
Right. And I really appreciated the joke. Dr. Kelso says, Dr. Coxon, I'll tell you the same thing I said to the stand-up comedian that I saw at the strip club in Reno. I'm not here for the jokes.
There you go. Yeah, I missed that too. It didn't even occur to me. Good.
At 13:33, Dr. Cox is trying to convince in the entirety, it's kind of a running theme. Dr. Cox is trying to convince a patient who is a hypochondriac to not get a free body scan that's being offered by Dr. Kelso because they have a bit of a bet on it. And at 13:33 is the scene that I picked out of here, because he admits while taking this hypochondriac out to lunch that that he's pretty much willing to do anything because he doesn't want to lose the bet to Bob Kelso. Right. And the wager being that if he lost, he has to kiss Kelso's ring.
Right. And that it's a good plot point that comes up later too. So it's very important to the story.
Right. And then the only episode really of Scrubs thus far that has multiple gambling references in it, and will be the sort of the feature or ending point of this conversation, Scrubs Season 4, Episode 13, called My Ocargil Infraction.
Infarction?
What did I say?
I said infraction. I think it's infarction. Yeah.
You're right. I think spelling, correct. Actually corrected that for me.
Yeah, really.
myocardial infarction. At the 5 minute, 20 second mark, we see Turk, Carla, Elliot, JD, and Laverne in the cafeteria betting on Turk's blood sugar level. Yeah. Turk is a diabetic, and this has now turned into, a bit of a betting ring. The bet is high or low, Mark. What would be your handicap on this?
Well, I would say high, based on certainly things that we find out a little bit later on in the episode, and sort of the things that he eats. How about that?
Right. Yes. I mean, I think it would be a pretty, even if you just sort of subtly observe his behavior throughout a day, I think you can make a pretty sharp bet.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. At 13:31, after Turk has refused Laverne's cookies.
And there you go. She's trying to get his blood sugar up because she's in on the betting.
Exactly. I'm trying to think of a good comparison, but I'm not going to come up with one. She says, now I got to try to get back to that craps game in the basement. I had missed that. I don't know. Look, shame on me for being a craps player and completely missing that reference.
I know. Good grief.
Yeah. But, when I threw it into our DM, I knew there was multiple references, and I was like, well, I'll go back and rewatch it before instead of marking all the minute markers here. But even when you I had watched it again, it did not have that scene in my notes when you'd send it back, and I was super ashamed of myself. I was like, my goodness, that's the reference that gamblers are looking for.
Exactly.
Yeah. 14 minutes, 54 seconds. JD and Elliot ask Doug, the pathologist, how come we walked into the morgue? How come we walked in here? I don't know how they phrase it, but they're
in the morgue.
Right. They're in the morgue, and they accuse him of sitting in a circle with three corpses playing Texas.
when they walked in, he had like three corpses. They don't show it.
Right.
But they're asking him, how come when we came in here, you had these three corpses propped up and you were playing Texas Hold'em?
Maybe because they didn't have time. I mean, who knows what the reasoning for any decision on writing something in versus displaying it. But I feel like Scrubs shows so many weird things that I was curious as to why they wouldn't depict that, because that seems like a pretty funny
it is. But I think the joke is, you know, they're in there, they are working on this cadaver. You don't actually know that Doug is in the morgue with him at the time, and then he kind of complains, you know, I don't like you coming down here and messing with my cadavers. So the joke is, the first thing they say is, well, how come that cadaver has a Coke in its hand? And he says, oh, it keeps it cold. And then the next thing is they ask him about the Texas Hold'em. So I think that's kind of the deal, is that, you know, that it's a series of jokes that kind of leads to that.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. I just seeing Doug sitting around with three corpses playing Texas Hold'em in my house, like, you just know that they would have done that well. But that's it. That gets us through at least midway through the fourth season of Scrubs. Again, great show. And look, I know that Rick and Morty wasn't for everybody. I know the Community, even I know it's kind of, but if you don't enjoy the show Scrubs, I'm sure there's plenty of people who don't. I would just be surprised and be curious why, I guess. I've learned that people who dislike it because they don't like Dr. Cox. Now that I say that, the few people that I've heard say they don't like Scrubs is specifically because they don't like that character.
Sure. And it's not just him. There's a lot of mean sarcasm throughout the show. He's not the only character who does it. But you know, JD and Turk don't generally dish it out. You know, they kind of take it, and they're kind of the normal people who are nice, and Elliot, of course, too. And, Nurse Carla. But, I agree though. It definitely has a bigger universal appeal than certainly Community or Rick and Morty.
Right. So I recommended Office Ladies, a rewatch podcast, for The Office. I will, not as strongly, but still recommend Fake Doctors, Real Friends, done by Donald Faison and Zach Braff, which is a rewatch podcast for Scrubs. The only reason why I am only halfway recommending it is because In the past, I don't know how long, but they've gotten to a point where it's like half them just chatting about whatever they feel like it and half talking about Scrubs.
Okay.
And so I don't recommend it strongly for the Scrubs rewatch stuff. But if you are interested, you can scroll their archive and you can see places where people like John C. McGinley make an appearance. And those episodes are always really good. Mark, the last time we chatted, I proposed that you bring some content, some TVs, movies to the table that you would like to rewatch through the lens of this exercise.
Yes.
What did you come up with?
I would like to go back and watch Cheers, one of the best American sitcoms that ever existed, ran from the early 80s to the early 90s. There are at least four episodes that deal very specifically with gambling. And, it, you know, this is kind of a throwback, too. We've been talking about things here from the 21st century. So we're going to go all the way back to the 80s and watch this great, very well-written sitcom, Cheers. So that's my choice.
So I have, I hope you don't think any less of me for this.
I'm going to.
I think the most I've seen of Cheers is walking by the bar in Boston that it was based on.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I thought you said you didn't like, you were going to say you didn't like Cheers.
Oh, no.
Then I'd get very upset. But that's fine.
Right, it was a little before my time.
Exactly, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to do it. Oh, for sure. I know for sure it was before your time. So now, you know, maybe you can come up to speed on Cheers.
I'd like to, because it is, look, there's just too much content to watch anymore, right? like when people make a show, they're like, have you seen this? And I'll be like, no. And honestly, unless you tell me it's like one of the greatest things you've ever seen, I'm probably not going to, right? Like, it's difficult to get things. Is there gambling in it? Because if not, I don't have fucking time to watch anything that may not have a gambling reference in it.
Right.
Well, where I'll can send, people watch it?
So on Hulu. Hulu has all the seasons. Yeah. So, I don't know if, I've got the four episodes in mind. I don't actually have them written down. I don't know if you want to let people know ahead of time or not, but I'll send them to you. It is a multi-camera sitcom. So in other words, it's filmed in front of a live audience.
Yes.
So there is laughter. And that's different from some of the other shows that we've been reviewing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the spinoff was Frasier, which is maybe a little, you know, more familiar with younger people because Frasier went into the, you know, 2000s. But yeah, Cheers, one of my favorites. Always looked forward to it in the 80s. So Hulu.
Are we just going to go over those four episodes, or are you going to do a front to back and pick up on other references that may be there?
We'll see. Now, okay. I know that we've kind of been picking apart, you know, some of these episodes that aren't necessarily full on gambling related, but I can think of four specific Cheers episodes where it's really gambling. Good. You know, it's talking about gambling. It's a major part of the show.
Right.
So I'm thinking maybe just those four episodes and we just kind of dive into it a little bit more. Maybe I'll, you know, I don't know if that'll be enough to fill up an entire episode. So maybe I'll look at some other things as well. That's a good point, because I don't know how long we can talk about some of these episodes and some have spoilers that, you know, maybe we don't want to bring up. So,
Yeah,
I'll think about that. And maybe I'll get together with you off mic too. We'll talk about it.
Okay. So Hulu is where you can find some Cheers.
Yep.
I know both Hulu and Prime has Rick and Morty. Netflix has Community, Scrubs available on Hulu and Prime. For anybody who wants to go back and watch some of those. Very good. Well, next time we do this, we'll be Norm, Cliff, and Diane, right?
Hey, yeah, no, you're Norm, Cliff, and Diane.
There we go. look, I feel like I'm a little more knowledgeable than I did. the only reason why I know that is because of a rap lyric, and I'm not kidding.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, there's a jewel.
Norm, Cliff, and Diane.
Yes, there's a Joel Ortiz line where he says, and the girls cheer like Norm, Cliff, and Diane. and ever since I heard that line, I always know who the characters at Cheers are because of that one line.
God, that's hilarious.
So there we are. Mark, this is always always a good time, and I look forward to doing this in approximately 4 weeks.
Yeah, it sounds good. Always fun. Thanks, Tim.
So was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. I appreciate all the positive feedback that the audience has given me, and Mark in this endeavor. It's a lot of fun chatting about it. Check out his conversation with the Same Bets YouTube channel for the little Hollywood gambling references that that they went over. Enjoy doing that with Mark about every 4 weeks. So if this is for some reason the only episode that you enjoy, in about 4 weeks, come back, we'll do another episode. Okay. A couple updates from the Better Life. I believe Better Santa stuff is finally fully resolved. That's right. It's finally fully resolved. Just 3 weeks into January. I think one person is waiting for a supplement to their order when there was an issue. So if you're that person and I think you know who you are, be patient. It's probably in the mail. Boy, USPS was behind on things. I mean, I was getting, I got a couple messages from people, a good week and a half into January saying, hey, I still don't see it. USPS hadn't even updated the package as received. And of course, then I'm nervous, like, well, goodness, where is it? And then boom, all of a sudden it just shows up on their doorstep and it updates as delivered. So it got there. The few peak things that were in those packages that I thought were cool. One of them was Moneyline Dice. Now, some of you may have already seen this this product floating around Twitter. It does have a Twitter handle. It is a set of five dice that you can pick up a combination of them. Roll it, and by the roll of the dice, you can make a decision on what side you're going to bet in sports betting. Now, of course, I sent that as a joke. I sent that for fun. That's what I mean. I sent that for everybody to have fun with. I don't actually expect anybody to make their decisions in sports betting with these dice. I thought they were a fun way to either make bets with your friends, or I may use them for charity bets or whatever it may be. But I did appreciate the fun that could be had with them. So that was one of the items that sports bettors got. The other item that I enjoyed getting for this was the Struggle Is Real t-shirt that shows the video poker scenario in which you hold four to the royal, only to get a fifth card that is the saint, that is the correct card that you need, but isn't the right suit. And a nod to Travel Fanboy, we made it even the same color, right, but the wrong suit. So the shirt depicts four spades, and they pull off, and the card that gets delivered is the jack. Adam did choose. I let him choose which card would be the one card off, and he chose jack because he wants everybody to know that you're just a jack off from getting a royal. So that was one of them. That shirt is in the Better Life online store, thebetterlife.us/merch. Use promo code YO11 for 11% off of your purchase. I also have hoodies coming in. I'm going to have those in the store if you would like to buy one. I'm still probably a couple weeks away from being able to ship them, but if you'd like to get the order in now, you can, and it'll be a little bit cheaper than it will be once I have them in stock. So if you want to get ahead on a slightly better price for a hoodie of this design, you can do that as well. And then lastly, something I had designed for, there was a number of things in the Better Santa. These are the three things I wanted to bring up. The last thing was, and I believe everybody got one of these, this was the thing that every Better Santa purchase got, was a Do Better mask. I had a mask printed in the style of the Better Life font, only reading Do Better. I am throwing that into every order from the store until I run out of them. So if you like, I don't think masks are going to go away for a while, even as people get vaccinated. I think the rule for masks is going to exist until there is like proven herd immunity. So if you want a better themed mask, make a purchase at the Better Life store, the betterlife.us/merch. Every order I'm tossing in one of these masks. So I think those are kind of fun. Also at the website, and this probably won't be, if you're someone who listens to these shows the second they come out, it may not be true for you, but for most of you, by the time you listen to this, there will be a page on the website where I have all of my futures positions in all sports listed. Probably not how much I'm invested into those, but the league, the team, and the price in which I got them. In case anybody, you know, if you have a free bet or something and you want to get some positive, I can't guarantee it's positive EV, but if you have a free bet or something, I know a lot of you take advantage of these promos and stuff and don't always know exactly what to bet or where. Here's an option, and it's something that's easy for me to maintain and update as it goes. So soccer, NFL, NBA, all of it. If I make a future bet in any market, I'll have it listed there, thebetterlife.us/futures, plural. Lastly, on Thursday, when I was upset about my computer going to crap, I was on my mobile device and I opened up and Ask Me Anything because I was kind of bored than anything, but I thought it was a good opportunity to open up some questions that may or may not have to do with gambling and give some people some sort of itch to their scratch, or a scratch to their itch of better life content. A few things that got brought up here that I wanted to repeat or answer publicly here on the show. Captain Jack asked what my first bet in Virginia was. It was, in fact, Robert Tonyan's over 32.5 receiving yards for the game tomorrow, Sunday, January 24th, against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is like 21st or 22nd in DVOA against tight ends. I think this number should be closer to 40. So I like this. I like this number here, 32.5. This is also going to be a huge benefit for those of you that maybe bet in faraway places. Local sports betting operators in your state is huge, because that number was available to me in the FanDuel app like Thursday, right? And I knew that number was available because I looked at DraftKings and other places earlier than that. Most places, especially faraway places, aren't going to have player props live. I think maybe BetOnline does, but I'm not too familiar with them. Anyways. Depending on where you normally get down, I'm not saying this is perfect across the board, but you're probably gonna have an opportunity to bet into player props earlier in the week than maybe you normally have gotten used to with other outs in or other jurisdictions. So that is one benefit. Anyways, Robert Tonyan over 32.5 receiving yards was my first wager, and it was one that I was really looking forward to making because my other outs hadn't posted it yet, so I was glad to get action down on that. Someone asked if a place that I haven't traveled to that is on top of my bucket list. The answer is England, and because I was supposed to visit it in 2020. That was actually a pretty significant highlight that I was looking forward to in 2020. Was a trip to England specifically to take advantage of the open sports betting market there and all of the soccer matches that were going to go on. I was essentially just going to tour England through sports betting and soccer. And who knows? It could, they seem to be coming down with the plague over there. So who knows how long it is till I can go get back to the UK. Eric Skinner asked, who's going to win this weekend's NFL games? I bet the Bills money line when Mahomes was still kind of in the air. I think people are assuming now, unless there might even be news already that he's probably going to play. I can't tell you who I think is going to win that game. I want the Bills to win, but I can't tell you who I think is going to win. On the other side, Green Bay. I took Green Bay first quarter, Green Bay first half. And I will likely look for an opportunity to take them in game if there's an opportunity, but I don't think there will be. People asked for my gambling book recommendations. Then One Day from Chris Andrews is a favorite. At the Sands was really good. Dr. Schwartzmore's most recent book. I really like that one. And Gambling Wizards by Richard Munchkin. That one's a fun read as well. And then lastly, someone asked me if I have any, Will C. asked if I have any good tales from my time in the military. And I do, and I want to make sure I remember them correctly and have enough entertaining details to make it worth it. But maybe I'll do a Patreon episode. Maybe I'll do a YouTube Live. Maybe I can try to find enough that are gambling related to just do, make it part of an episode here. But, yes, I have some. I will think of a way. I think I've told a number of them as it pertains to gambling, like going to Barcelona with my Marine buddy and going to the casino and poker not being available. And that's how I actually got into blackjack, because there was nothing else to do. So I started playing blackjack. The number of poker games that I've been in any scenario while I was in the military, whether it was poker games on a Saturday night at the barracks or a poker game at the chief of missions house at the embassy in Algeria, where I'm playing poker with people whose salary is like three times mine. There's a number of good stories, I'm sure, on that front. Sports betting throughout that entire time really isn't all that exciting, because at the time all I could do was sort of those weird like Bovada and stuff, and I really wasn't knowledgeable enough to really take advantage of it. Experiencing Black Friday while I was in Lima. There's a number of these that I think I've sort of told here and there. Maybe I'll unpackage it a little bit more and add some more non-gambling related stuff, and possibly do that in a YouTube Live setting. And then before I go, I'm going to tease this possible and likely future endeavor. I may be trying Twitch soon. I may try doing some Twitch activity. I got to find the right games to play. I got to find some good casino games to play. But I may start doing some regular, but maybe not too frequent, streams on Twitch to do some casino gaming and chat with you all. So we'll more info on that. But thank you so much for taking the time to listen. It truly means the world to me. I enjoy recording with Eric and Mark and the rest of them for hours at a time, knowing that I get to package it into something that I am proud of and something I'm confident you will enjoy. So thank you for all the great feedback. I'm really sorry if I make your ears bleed. And we will be back on Thursday with another guest. On behalf of Mark Duvall, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.